Well, good morning. Y'all look really good. Like it's 4th of July. I thought you'd already be setting off the fireworks, and it's a good crowd. So good to see all of you. I know that wherever you stand, politically or whatever, I just hope today and tomorrow that you are grateful. We are truly blessed. I've had the opportunity, not recently, but do a lot of missions trips in a lot of places where they feared for standing up for their faith, but they did it anyway. And I really don't have to fear to stand up for my faith. And that's partially because we do live in a free nation that allows us to do this today without lining up, without taking us to jail. And so I am just thankful today for the freedoms that we have. And so I hope that you as well are thankful. And it's good to see all the red, white, and blue out there. I had a pin, and I didn't wear my pin. I was like so pumped about it. But anyway, I'll wear it next year. So also, a couple of things. Just next Sunday, as we're in South Dakota, you're going to have the privilege to hear Pastor Paul Ward. He's come to us recently. He's an ordained minister and has a great family, and I hope that you've gotten to know him. But he's also going to be teaching a class in the fall, a discipleship class for Sunday school. And so that'll give you a nice introduction to him and his family. And so I hope that you'll be here for that. And what a blessing. And so y'all doing good? Yes, amen. It's a great Sunday, a great day to be in the house of the Lord, and a great day to be uncomfortable. Amen, right? I heard a less response to that than like the other things, but I would encourage you today, and I really want you to hear me, because this is the last Sunday of this series. I want you to leave this series remembering that if you feel comfortable in your faith, then you are not in step with the Lord. You really should feel consistently uncomfortable. Now, I don't mean consistently not at peace. I don't mean consistently nervous or scared or, no, being at peace in the strength and power that God gives us, in the knowledge of our eternal home, all of that, but to be uncomfortable that God is always calling us to stretch, to grow, to be different, and to reach people. And the way we reach people is not just by serving, but it's by speaking. All right, the name of Jesus. And so the last 3 weeks have not really been about serving. I'm glad that you serve and we need you to serve, but it's not just about that. It's about speaking the name of Jesus, because when it comes down to it, that's the change maker. My prayers for this trip is that we would speak the name of Jesus and not be afraid to do that. When we canvass, my prayer is that we would not be afraid to not just say, hey, we've got a barbecue. Hey, come and check us out. I like us to go further than that and say, hey, Jesus is the change maker. And that can be uncomfortable. So we've been in Acts. We've covered Philip. We've covered Ananias and his challenge with Saul, soon to be Paul. And I'm going to take you into that first couple of days of Saul's to Paul's transformation as he begins to kind of accept and receive the call that God has placed on his heart. I forgot to say this last week, but many believe that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. Most of you are what? Gentiles, okay? If you're of Jewish descent, you're excluded from that. But as far as I know, unless a guest is here of Jewish descent, all of you are Gentiles. Okay, so Paul is your apostle. Very good. Okay, you're three are with me. So, and I did the scripture wrong. It's actually Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 20. And so if you have that, if you would stand with me for the reading of God's word today. Now remember, this is right after his transformation. What's crazy is that he literally goes from one existence to another existence, and it's almost, well, it is pretty much overnight in theology. It's just a couple of days, and all of a sudden he's saying and speaking things that he never said and never spoke before. In fact, all he did was speak against. And so it's crazy to see that he's had this incredible transformation. For some days, he was with the disciples at Damascus. And immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. And I just want to stop because this isn't my message. But what I want you to know is that when you come to me and say, you text me or email and say, I'm just not the person to say it. I'm just not the person to share Jesus. Here's what's crazy. All of a sudden, Paul what? he begins to proclaim. And you know why? Because the Spirit of God was on him. And when you have the Spirit, he gives you the words, he gives you the wisdom. And so here, we're really seeing and hearing the Spirit of God moving in and through Paul. So he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose to bring them bound before the chief priest?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. And here's where it gets good. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. You know what kind of basket I would need? I've always laughed at this because, like, I'm assuming he's at least my size or probably bigger. That kind of basket is something else. So anyway, and when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But these are always great places in the Word. Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It multiplied. God, today, I would just ask today that your words would just flow out of me, that I would be a vessel, that you would work in the midst of me, God, that you would just allow this time to be your time, and that you would speak to your people, challenge your people, God. Grow them up. God, let peace and multiplication be our hearts. And so, God, we trust you. We pray against the enemy in the name of Jesus, and we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. All right, y'all know what a double whammy is? Do you ever watch that show, Whammy, No Whammy? Okay, our kids love that. There's no more of them. What's it called? Press your luck. Okay. You know, I would just press my luck to the end and leave with nothing. You know what I'm saying? Because I would just think in my head, something's going to come and nothing. And that's what most of them do, and you get all disappointed. But our kids love when there was a whammy, and so they always would holler for a whammy because the thing would come up. You know what I'm saying? Dun, 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 and then something would happen. There's a double whammy here, and here's what I want you to see. So you've got Saul who is preaching and proclaiming the gospel through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, this is just days. So I don't want you to think like this is months and years of this development. And I want you to think about the other side. The other side is that these are people, the Jewish people, that he was just what? Arm in arm with, best buddies with, doing what they wanted him to do. Some of them even were glad for him because he was doing what they weren't really willing to do. You ever meet people like that? Man, I want to stick it to him, but I'm the good, you know, everybody says I'm the sweet one, but when you see someone stick it to them in your head, you're like, at least somebody did it, right? Y'all know it's true. Sometimes we've all done that, right? And we say, okay, the fall comes from somebody else. Well, Saul was that person. The Jewish people were thinking it. They were actually encouraging him to do it. They were cheering him on to do evil. And all of a sudden, they're like, how did you, wasn't this, 3 days ago you were, and all of a sudden you've got this double whammy situation because it didn't take very long. Now, mind you, he went from a killer and an imprisoner to a free man who was speaking freedom to people. And they didn't like that. They liked the killer. They liked the destroyer. They liked the man who did what they weren't willing to do. And it wasn't but, in the fact, the scripture says some days. So we're talking about a couple of days. And you know what happened to the Jewish people? Well, if he's not going to do what we want him to do, he is out. Isn't it funny how humankind is so fickle? We can flip on a dime. We can love somebody one day and they just, we're in society now where you say the slightest thing wrong and you out. I mean, you there's no forgiveness. You said it. It's typed in a blog. It's typed on Facebook. I can screenshot it. In fact, I screenshotted it. I expanded it and I sent it to you. Yeah, it happened in 2010, but you said it. And here's the thing. We're talking about just some days later, they had enough of him. Crazy, right? Well, they got an enormous basket. Probably you couldn't get this at Hobby Lobby. And somehow lowered this man, right? I still can't. I mean, lowered him over the wall and sent him on his way. Now tell me this isn't uncomfortable. You say, well, I mean, Paul is just an incredible dude. He is. But he had feelings too. And all the people that he walked with, that he loved, that he was standing for, shunned him. So much so that he had to run. So now he's in this uncomfortable spot that he's been left alone. And what does he do? He goes to the church and says, hey, I'm on your side now, and I'm with you. And the church does what? We don't want you either. There's the double whammy. At this point, nobody really wanted him. You ever been there before? You ever been at the place where, like, you do the right thing, and so you separate yourself from this crowd because you know it's the right thing, and then you go to the crowd that, like, you were supporting, and they say, I don't want anything to do with you. Come on now, we've all been there. You stand up for somebody, and that person you stand up for says, well, I didn't ask you to do that. Well, why did you do that for me? And so here we've got this Saul, soon to be Paul. What do I do? Well, there's some key things in this that we miss. First is you got the previous and the present. The great thing is that even though it's uncomfortable, guess what he does? He doesn't go back to the previous, he stays in the present. See, a lot of times when we hit a double whammy, what do? We fall back. We say, I can't. We say, not today. We say, you know what? If nobody's going to like me, then I'm going to do what the larger crowd says to do so that we don't have to be uncomfortable. Paul doesn't. He stays with the present. He says, if I'm just going to do it alone, then I'm going to do it alone. You know how uncomfortable it is to stand for your faith alone? Do you know what the reality is that you're going to have to stand alone sometimes for your faith? It is a realistic reality. If you're in the workplace tomorrow or Tuesday, it's a reality. Sometimes in the church, it's a reality. Sometimes in our home, it's a reality. But Saul didn't give up. He pressed on. I love here in the scripture when you look at the way in which his previous, as in like 3 or 4 days ago, friends, okay, you know, we kind of had the same situation now because if you make somebody mad, they're going to let you know through Facebook. Actually, they're probably not going to let you know. They're going to just let Facebook know, and then you find out because your friend texted you and said, did you see what's on? And I always say, you know what, I'm not on Facebook, and that's the reason why, because I can't handle that, so don't call me, okay? I don't want to know. I just want to live in denial. In fact, do you ever even tell me anything on Facebook? No, because I'm messed up. And so all that does is what? Further mess me up. And so I got to stay in the wholeness and holiness of God. So y'all can talk about me on Facebook. I won't know. But I love this. When you translate 3906, which is watching, they weren't just watching. They were watching with a sinister intent. Well, what do you mean? Well, I want you to get this. They the same people. I'm going to talk ghetto here for a second. They the same people. You know why? They were watching for somebody else to do what? To take care of him. In fact, it says that it was a large group, meaning everybody was murmuring and saying, we can't wait for the person that's going to make him fall. Come on now. They didn't have enough guts to do it themselves, but boy, were they watching. Where's our next Saul? And hopefully our next Saul is going to take care of. See, they didn't just watch to see what happened. They watched with the intent for evil to come to him. Sad. You know what's sad about it? is that I don't believe that God ordained that. I don't believe we're learning in Esther, like, and I love the ending of it. They only asked to go after who went after them. Think about it. So they watched. So here are his buddies, the people he stood for, gone. And so sometimes remaining uncomfortable in the faith means remaining alone. If you're sure that you're sure that you're sure that God has spoken, then stand with it, because you're not alone. In fact, all the good ones in the Bible, they put up with it, and they keep going, and they stand firm. I love this. For some days, man, they flipped on them so quick. So think about this. We've got the Jews, the turning, and evil. Same old story. You've got people that have turned away and want evil. And Saul is like, I don't want evil anymore. I want good. I've given up this life. I'm not going back. I'm going to remain uncomfortable. So church, we take it a step further, and many of us have left things, left sin, left things that bound us up. And sometimes, you know what that means? We have to then leave people, so that stuff can stay bound up. Because see, what we often do is the people that are encouraging us to go in the direction that's opposite from God, we give up those things and then we keep those people close. That's a recipe for failure. You say, well, Pastor, you're always talking about ministering to people. I know. But you know what? Somebody else probably needs to be ministering to them, because you ain't strong enough to. And you know what? You say, what are you talking about? Saul, right? Yes, he always spoke and addressed, if you know anything about his life, he always addressed the Pharisees, he always addressed the, but he was really called to what? We already said it, the Gentiles. Sometimes you aren't called to redeem your past and those that hurt you. And maybe you are. But the problem is, they just had evil. Now, there's a little slip in here. I don't know if it's Freudian or what it is, but there's a slip in here in the writing. And if you see this, at 25, it says, but his disciples took him by night. So let's go back to some days. I love this, because this should translate to all of us, okay? Just in a couple of days, there's this glimpse of hope. What is it? Well, there are people that now say, I'm a disciple of Saul's ministry, forwarding the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. See, we always think disciples. In fact, I was reading some commentaries that said, biggest mistake, we think apostles, disciples, and actually here it's saying, Paul already saw conversions in just a couple of days. And then it was his disciples, not the apostles, not the Jewish people, that actually lowered him down the gate. So you know what? There's some true people in there that saw something in him without having to be convinced otherwise. So I had to just slip that in there for you. Nothing to do with today. So you've got the disciples now and the apostles. We're building up to get to this advocate. And so you've got these disciples and apostles, and they're incredible, and they're doing great things, and they're really kind of staying in this one area to do ministry. And here comes Saul, and they say, we don't want you. Now, a lot of times we say, well, why did they do that? I mean, it's Paul. Well, they didn't know, like, what Paul was going to do. They didn't really understand the transformation. And so you know what? If a couple of days ago they were killing your friends, you'd probably say what? Listen, go to court, okay? And when the court clears you, I will love on you. Do you know what I'm saying? But until then, I'm not going to love on you. And so you've got these two crowds shunning him. It's uncomfortable. He actually went to them for what? Support, encouragement. You ever come to the church to try to get support and encouragement? You don't get it? Now you say, well, yeah, I'm not getting it right now. You know, sometimes we're going to the church for a different kind of support and encouragement that's not this. Paul was just in it for missional. meaning he was just saying, I want to be a vessel. He wasn't saying, well, you didn't. Well, why haven't you? Well, where were you? Well, why didn't you? He was saying, hey, I'm all in. I just want to spread the gospel, the great news. See, we love to use scriptures like this and say, well, I'm not being taken care of. Paul didn't want to be taken care of. He wanted the next mission. Where am I supposed to go? What should I do? They chased me out of here. Where do you want to send me? Then comes the advocate. Do y'all know what an advocate is? Yes. You ever have an advocate in your life? That is just that consistent force that always advocates, even when you're probably maybe not the best of a person and you don't always say the best of things, they just advocate for you. I mean, I'm telling you, I could get mad at my wife and tell her how mad I am, and then the next day, do you know what she does? She advocates for me. And we can be in the worst of places. And I'll say to her at night, I read your text. You know, I sometimes slip in and read her text, you know, because I don't trust her. But anyway, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. She's not real, tech savvy, as in text savvy. She didn't keep up with those. So I get nervous, you know, for her sake. And she'll say, honey, you know, I got 6 kids. And I'm like, whatever. But anyway, you know, I'll read a text and I'll say, I didn't know they said that. And she'll say, well, you don't need to. I took care of it. Right? Imagine having someone like that. It means something. I know that I don't ever have to worry about her not advocating for me. Even when I am a little stinky, even when I am a little rough, she's there. So Barnabas, y'all ready for this? This is the greatest part of this. Barnabas, right? He comes in. We all know him as an encourager. He's a tremendous man of God. There's little disagreements and things like that that happen, but overall, you would describe him as an encourager. Oftentimes, right, I want you to think about this. As an encourager, a general rule is they don't like conflict. Now, Barnabas would actually probably say, if he were standing here today, I don't like conflict. But you know what's great about encouragers, this kind of encourager? They don't mind conflict when it's necessary. Meaning they don't mind to step in when it's justice related, when it's truth related, when it's important to the forwarding of the right things. They don't mind stepping up. Because you know what happens is when you step up and you speak out, you are probably going to divide some things. You know what's great in this situation? It doesn't. He stands up, I believe, full of the Holy Spirit, and begins to speak as the encourager, as the advocate. And church, I don't know about you, but there are situations in my life where I'm so glad that I had an advocate that said, no, that's not what he said. No, that's not what he thinks. No, that's not what he meant. And thankfully, I have that. But let's think about encouragers for a minute. They're ready to move. Think about just Barnabas. His mind was missional. His mind was on the gospel. Are you encouraging people to move into the presence of God? Now, some of you don't like that I do it to you, but I can't help it. There are times where I say things and I'm like, Lord, I don't want to say it, and it doesn't come out right, but I know God is telling me to say it, and you don't receive it well. I didn't want to say it to begin with, and then I go to God and say, I don't want to say it to begin with. And he said, Joe, just be the seed planter. I'll take care of the rest. You know, encouragers like Barnabas, they, encouraging people, keep their eyes on what God is doing through the vessels. See, what we do when we're all about elevating ourselves, we elevate people. It's what we do. You know why? Because then they elevate us back. It's the most dangerous thing in the church because we do it and it's fake and it's political. I watched someone do it. It just unnerved me 7 years, didn't I? And they got where they wanted to go. And it didn't work out. You know why? Because it wasn't where God was taking them. But boy, did they know how to schmooze in the church, schmooze those people. I hate that. I'm just being real with you right now. I'm going to encourage you because the Lord said to encourage you. Not because someone told me in a board meeting I should be more. Barnabas does it with the right heart. and the right reason. Encouraging people know how to humble themselves and celebrate others. Barnabas didn't stand up and say, you know, I was going along serving, and as I was serving, I saw him. You know, as I was partnering with him in ministry and seeing people come to know Jesus, I saw him. No, actually, if you really read what he said, he only refers to the work of God. He actually, in the translation, he just refers to Saul as a vessel and elevates everything God did through him, but actually elevates God. Encouraging people point to the truth no matter the discomfort. You have to think. Barnabas, Saul don't have the same like people group. Saul had the Jews, and he went against the people that and stood up to the people that were like his group. I mean, what if they had said, you know what? Go somewhere else. We're fine with it, but just go somewhere else and do it. You know, Barnabas would have to go with the now Saul Paul and leave all the friends that he had. Y'all are getting quiet. Encouraging people are spirit-filled people. I don't mean elevating people, calling out names and doing all that mess. Not that. But see, Barnabas was spirit-filled and he spoke in a spirit-filled manner, full of the Spirit. Encouraging people are driven by unseen faith. You know why? Because when they see the Lord move and the Lord prompts them to speak, they speak it not knowing whether or not, but they believe it. See, people that just elevate people, they're just elevating people for elevation back. See, people that are true encouraging spirit-filled people, they encourage the Spirit's work that they're not sure of in that person. Encouraging people often experience and witness great transformations in people. You know why? Because when I secretly encourage someone to do something that they're struggling with, and it's between me and them, and a couple weeks later they send the text and say, I did it. I really did it. And I say, you know what? Praise God. I don't tell you. I sometimes don't even tell you. In fact, sometimes you come and say, did you know that? I'm like, well, yeah, but that wasn't mine to tell. Man, Barnabas just stood up, not for Saul. Come on now. When you translate it, you know what he stood up for? The work of God. And you know what we do, church? And I mean church in general. We often stand up for the person and not the work. It's why churches had division. It's why people leave when a pastor leaves. That's hogwash. That's messy stuff. Oh, well, they fired that staff, and so I'm out of here. You go and see what God does when he meets you. Because, see, it's not about the people. It's about the work. Now, you're valuable. You say, Pastor, it makes no sense. You're always saying you are valuable when you're humbling yourself before the throne and letting the Spirit fill you. And then the Spirit in me is encouraging the Spirit in you, and the Spirit in you is encouraging the Spirit in. And then you're really fulfilling the purposes of God, the plan of God, how he knit you together. Many of you ladies in here are pregnant, and he is knitting together plans for those babies. We had to get uncomfortable. It's the last Sunday. Is that okay? We had to get a little uncomfortable. Okay. So Barnabas, he fought and resisted the natural desire to remain comfortable. He, you know, really, it would have been better, right, had it been the Jews he had to stand up to and say, well, I know this guy. Nope. It was his fellow comrades. The hardest thing to do. The hardest thing to do. And you know what he said? And I love this because we really look at what he said that Paul was what? He was frank in speech. He just spoke the truth. That couldn't come from him. In fact, the way you read it, it's like whatever he's saying, he couldn't even know because he didn't have enough time to study it. It's like what we do as students. My whole life growing up, I really wasn't a reader. I read now because I need to know. Does that make sense to do when I've grown up? But I wasn't a reader. I'm just going to be real honest with you right now, okay? My mom was a Spanish teacher all growing up, and it was a beautiful thing when her school decided to change curriculum to the curriculum of my school. Now, this is bad, okay? I just wanted to get through, okay? And so she didn't know this, but when she went to bed, I went in there and I took the test answers and I copied them down. The biggest sin I did all in high school, I'd do drugs, none of that, but that's what I did, okay? And I would copy it and she would say, well, Joseph, you're doing so well in Spanish. That was my highest grade of everything else. And I say, well, Mom, I mean, I'm just really trying because I really, now today, I wish I had learned from her. You know what I'm saying? Like, she taught advanced Spanish. She took me to the Spanish church. And I mean, I didn't understand a word and I didn't try because I just needed an A. Well, I don't have that philosophy anymore. I wish I would have learned. You know what I'm saying? And I want you to get this. There was no way that Paul could have known all that he knew. When my mom and we got older and I began to tell her, which was after high school, and I said, Mom, you know I didn't just get those A's because I got them A's. I said, but eventually the Lord convicted me in the senior, and she said, I wonder, because your grades went, you know, right back to the normal, like, C level. You know what I'm saying? I said, yeah, and so you should have put two and two together, but she likes to be naive and think things aren't happening that are, and so she said, I just didn't know how one day and the next day, and I said, Mom, because ain't no truth going on in there. There's no way that in just a couple of days, Paul could have gone from an opposite to a without something else. And that something else was not his speech. And Barnabas said, it wasn't him. How could it be? You know what else he says? I saw him transformed. It was just the other day. I mean, you've got to think. If someone goes from Muslim like 7 days ago and today is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, you'd have to say to yourself, well, something else is at work. And so what did Barnabas do? He didn't focus on Saul. He focused on the speech. And how could he speak so clear and confidently with just a couple of days' experience? You don't just jump in a job and say, I'm a different person from when I arrived till now. Barnabas says, and the Spirit of God was all over him. And I'm confident of that. Come on now. Wouldn't it be nice if people said, you know what? The Spirit of God is just all over Donna as she walks from patient to patient to patient. And I don't think you get this courageous without the Spirit. He was just courageous in every move he made, every word he spoke. And so here's Barnabas talking about Paul, but really talking about the work of the Lord. Really telling us today that as we encourage, because we should be encouraging, as we encourage one another, it should be to encourage the Spirit's work in the vessel's life. So the two worlds collide. Barnabas stands up. He gives this uncomfortable testimony. And then all of a sudden, this is what's so crazy. They all listen. So here's what's great, and I wish this happened in the church now. Spirit-filled, change, right? Saul, Spirit-filled, Barnabas, Spirit-filled. Everybody listens. They see the Spirit, not the people, and they go forward. And you know what happened? Because church, we're stopping it all the time. Because we see the situation, we see the, well, he killed, we see the. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was built up. Now, each week I've been saying this, okay? And I'm going to say it again this week, okay? What if it were not for Barnabas? Come on now. Take them out of this. You'd have to have a lot of gaps filled in. What are they? Well, someone would have had to have seen all that had happened to him. Someone would have to have the boldness to stand up against their closest church friends. Someone would have had to have the boldness to, and it seems to me that God wanted to use Barnabas. And it seems to me when he speaks to you that he might just want to use you. But you know what Christians are really good at? We are good deflectors. And you know what's crazy? Most of us that deflect, we've got a friend, we've got a family member, we've got a kid, we've got a loved one that we've been praying for years for God to move in their life. I pray for other people to minister to people that are in my family, because I can't do it and I can't be the one. I tried. I'm little Joey. Fourth in line. You know what I mean? That's just, and so you know what? I pray somebody else. But you know what's happened? A lot of times your prayers are going to somebody and that person's taking the mirror and they're deflecting it. But then we want it to happen in our life, but yet we're deflecting it in. And so in the church overall, I think there's a lot. I think God is looking and there's all kinds of, you know, when you hit the sun just right in a mirror. I mean, I think he sees that all the time. Well, I sent it to you. Well, you deflected it. And now I got a hope there. And I hope you say, well, that's not, I mean, God knows. But maybe, just maybe, in this moment, Barnabas was the man to stand up. So the question, when both sides are pivoted against you, what do you do? Paul could have just given up. Paul could have been lowered down the and said, I think I'm just going to do this quietly from my home at a home Bible study. Then where would let's take a little bit out. Where would this be? Barnabas could have said, not my friends, not my church. I've been in that church for 32 years, and they were there 41. And so I'm going to tell them that the Spirit's telling me, Spirit, use somebody else. My friendships are more important. You could also just say, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, this might be right. So the Spirit, it speaks. So the church throughout all of replace Judea, replace Galilee, replace Samaria, had peace and was being built up. And then there's the last thing. In order to be uncomfortable, the only way you can have peace is to be uncomfortable, and the only way to have peace is to live in the fear of the Lord. Now that's all throughout Scripture. It isn't some deep, I'm not going to go deep with it. I read what John Wesley said about it. You know, it keeps us in holiness. It maintains our desire to. You know why? Because y'all, you should fear stepping outside of the light. Because darkness is dark, and it's quick, and it turns fast. Well, what do you mean? It wasn't but some days later, and not a lot, not many, not even a few, it was some days later, his friends, y'all in school, like you're living for your friends, you know what? Maybe some of you, I don't know, but I don't know any of them. Because most of those friends weren't thinking the best for me. Just some days later, evil got back to evil. That's what evil does. It gets back to work. So I'm not going to use you, I'm going to use somebody else. And so I think we should probably fear separation from God and being open to the enemy than fearing our friend in church or a thought pattern or a parent. You fill it in. And so as we end this, if you want peace, you have to be uncomfortable. Because you know what? It is uncomfortable to live full of the Spirit. But yet at the same time, it's a place of full peace. Isn't that a conundrum? If I said that outside, people look at me and say, you are crazy. What are you talking about? How can you be uncomfortable and be at peace at the same time? Be a Christian. Be a Christian. Follow Jesus. His whole ministry was uncomfortable. He walked in discomfort. And so I don't know, church, but I think sometimes in the church, worlds are colliding. And when the dust settles, where are we? Are we in comfort or are we in discomfort? God, today, on this day that we celebrate, or tomorrow we celebrate freedom, I'm most thankful today for the freedom that we have in Christ. And I believe that that freedom only comes when we stay in discomfort with our selfishness, our hopes, our friendships, all those things that get in the way of us being a Barnabas. Barnabas kept the avenue open so that you could allow Paul to be unleashed. And God, today maybe we're the gatekeeper to seeing someone be unleashed. Maybe we're the gatekeeper to the church being unleashed. And so God, let us live in the fear of you. We love you. Be with us, guide us, be with our Sunday school classes, Lord, as we convene. We also pray this month, Lord, that in a couple of weeks as we celebrate Christmas in July, that you would just, God, encourage us to be a part of that, to begin to think about how we're going to bless the families that are struggling here at AFC as well as families that are fostering. God, I understand that in a whole new way. And so, Lord, I just pray that you challenge our hearts and be with our South Dakota team and all those that are here working and serving. And we just pray that your Spirit would be the reason that we live, move, breathe, and go forward. We love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all. Thank you so much for being here on this 4th of July weekend. Sunday school is a great place to be next.